Caller here. Caller, you have to hear this, and then Dave's going to leave for a little bit. So we have the new version of Walking Dog across the street. Legendary place. A friend, Dave Magnuson, owned it for a long time. It's come back now. I brought in very healthy chicken I made last night and a sweet potato. Then we started talking about maybe a Chicago Polish, and I said, okay, I'm going to run over there top of the hour. I go there. They're out of a Polish, unfortunately. That happens. And so then I decided, what can I get that would bug Harrigan? And I got him a cheddar brat, and he's just disgusted right now. He's almost lost the will to live. Where do you stand on a cheddar brat?
Well, I haven't had lunch today yet, so I would love one. I'm going to tell you the truth. I am a despicable eater. I mean, just in general. I will eat almost anything. I tend to lean a lot toward fast food or things that every food pyramid said you should stay away from. So something like, I love cheese, love brats, put them together, that's perfectly fine. It's kind of difficult to find something that I just straight up won't eat. So that sounds wonderful.
Do you ever at home make a meal? Like, or is it just, hey, what fast food is on the way home?
I am not great at making things. My wife is very, very good at it. Schedule-wise, we struggle sometimes to cook at home. But, I mean, I'll just have, if I'm cooking for myself, I'll make myself some hot dogs or soup or whatever, warm up some cold pizza. It's bad.
It's terrible.
I mean, if you're, I can make myself like a chicken quesadilla with a little cheese, a little tortilla mixed in there. But mostly, I'm just pathetic at this. I can't believe I'm still living the way that I eat.
And you're fit and healthy, at least from the outside. I mean, inside, Harrigan, what could be going on?
Well, he's clearly a dumpster inside. Just whatever it is, just throw it in. He'll inhale it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that I exercise a fair amount. I jog, I play basketball, I play golf, and if you're also enraged all the time at your golf, I feel like you're burning calories, I swear it.
Yeah.
Angry. So that's how I try to justify it. When I eat like a Pizza Hut pizza and wings, then I'll be like, I'll just go for a jog, and I'm good. And so far, that's done okay. I can't imagine that my heart would agree with that.
No.
But
no.
But I feel good like when I look in the mirror still. That's all I need.
Speaking of cooking, what did you think about Kwesi and the acquisition of Cam Robinson?
Well, I thought it was a tremendous job. I mean, I don't know how often you can get a starting left tackle in the middle of the season who has a track record of being a pretty good player. Now, this is not Christian Darrisaw. Everyone needs to make sure they're clear on that. This man will actually get beat sometimes, unlike Darrisaw, where if it happens once in a game, we're shocked. But Robinson has been a good pass blocker, a well above average pass blocker for the last four or five seasons. He is nowhere near the run blocker of Christian Darrisaw. I mean, we've just gotten used to how incredible Darrisaw is over there, and you just forget about it. This is not the same caliber of athlete of Christian Darrisaw. I don't think that he has the same level of kind of sandpaper, if you will, to use a hockey term, of Darrisaw. But he's going to protect Sam Darnold's blindside, and that was really the goal here. And when you look at what they gave up, somebody initially brought up Cam Robinson before they traded for him, and my reaction was, well, I don't know how you're going to get him.
Yep.
Because how are you going to give up enough to get a starting left tackle? The trade market has been very much a buyer's market. Amari Cooper didn't go for very much. I mean, the trade for Deontay Johnson, who's a good receiver from Carolina, who ends up going to Baltimore, they paid pennies on the dollar for him. So they have to consider that, you know, maybe after this week, there could be 7, 8, 9 teams in the NFL that are selling, which could make available some players that normally you wouldn't expect for a team that doesn't have a lot of draft capital. So to not give up almost any draft capital, I thought was really excellent. And it allows their offense to keep doing mostly what it was doing.
Does he start Sunday night?
I think so. I think it helps that it's Sunday night, a little more preparation time. I also, for a guy that's been in the league for this long, I think he knows how to digest a single game plan. And if there was any position that you could just throw somebody in, I think left tackle is it. Of course, Kevin O'Connell would not reveal their plans, because imagine if you told the Indianapolis Colts that the that this starting left tackle you just acquired is going to start. But, you know, I think that for that position, can you get by 1 week and then try to work through the back end of him understanding the whole offense? You're also at home, which I think really helps for communication. So if he doesn't understand something, the left guard could just say, hey, buddy, just block the defensive end. I think that that's going to be pretty much fine. I don't think it's one of the harder positions. And we've also seen this in the league a lot over the years, which I think is one of the increases for trades, is that, you know, players go to another team. Amari Cooper caught a touchdown on a play where he wasn't sure where to run, and one of his teammates just said, run straight, and he caught a touchdown.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so let's talk.
Figure it out.
Yeah, and you were asked about this in the mailbag today. Let's talk Addison and Jefferson, because Jefferson has been targeted through seven games, the fewest amount of time since his rookie year, and rookie year he didn't start. The first two games, Addison has not been targeted much. You laid out the data about how different it is throwing first down. Play that out, and is this the type of game where they can get Jefferson at a higher involvement and also Addison, and where would that leave Hockenson? And then the balance of running. How does this all mesh, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that, number one, they were not trailing at all in the first five games. And when you're ahead, you're just playing differently. So they have run on first down way, way more often. Also, Aaron Jones is good at football, and that was not the case for the backfield the last few years. But I think that the score dictated a lot of the volume for Sam Darnold. And then the fact that the Lions and the Rams had been on the field the whole game, it felt like, the last 2 weeks, they just didn't run a lot of plays. That Jordan Addison has actually received the same percentage of completions in his direction as last year. It's just that they haven't thrown as many passes. And I think what we're going to see is, and this is also based on some comments by Justin Jefferson and Kevin O'Connell the last 2 days, I really think they're going to try to get the ball out of Sam Darnold's hands fast, get him throwing on first down, get the offense into a rhythm. And look, I mean, Jordan Addison, whenever a wide receiver posts something online, we just have to shoot up the flares. What's going on? Right. Is this a trade request? And I did the same thing as everyone else. He needs the ball. Like, he's a first-round talent. He's a good player. Don't let the off-field stuff influence the way you feel about how he catches a football and runs routes, because he's been getting separation. You can see it on tape. He's got opportunities open when he's out there. They just need to find ways to get him the ball. I would like to see Sam Darnold throw 35 to 40 passes in this game. But if you only run 50 plays like they did against the Rams, you can't run, you know, 40 passes. So I think there's a bunch of things that go together, and especially the penalties. Penalties have been ruining drives.
Yeah, right.
And I asked O'Connell about that earlier today, and he said that it's just reading between the lines of a very long O'Connell answer that – they were putting a lot on Sam Darnold's plate. And I think that goes in alignments, multiple play calls, motions, all those things. And they really want to try to pare some of that down, to run similar stuff without making it so complicated, because that's what runs the clock down and get the delay of games, or guys get false starts. Just asking for too much maybe from Darnold on some of those things. And I think O'Connell was maybe self-aware enough to say, all right, I've been putting a little too much on him the last couple of weeks. I've got to dial that back. Now, I have to see it, because O'Connell hasn't done that before.
Right.
So, but at least the idea is there, and I think he's identified a thing that's ruined a lot of drives.
During this break, you'll have a cheeseburger, hot dog, and a what are you, a diet Dr. Pepper? Is that you're drinking in?
Yeah, I mean, I got it. When I'm eating all that stuff, I got to go diet soda, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's when you show some discipline right there. Matthew Collar, the brains behind Purple Insider. And we come back, Blake Cashman out again, Joe Flacco in, and a little Caitlin Clark talk also. We come back, Collar here on CCO. Purple Insider.football. That's where today's story is all week. Instant reaction to Sunday night's game. It's a must consumption if you care about the Vikings. Blake Cashman is out for a third straight game. You were out there. Do you get the sense that we're looking at Blake Cashman next week? Are we talking multiple weeks? Turf toe. We can go example after example. It rarely is a short time. And if he comes back next week, it's a month. And then just talk about what adjustments they can make without him. Because so far, to some level, it has been very clear they have missed him.
Oh, yeah. I wish they wouldn't call it turf toe because that makes it sound sort of funny. It's a very painful injury. It does always take a really long time for guys to come back to that. And you think about how Cashman plays. He's got to plant that foot in the ground and explode off of it. If you can't do that, then he can't be the same player. So you'd rather have him wait and be healthier. It's a little hard to say about how they've made up for him. I think it's been a massive loss. I think he's been the most valuable player on the defense because he's the one communicating with Brian Flores and then setting up the defense, making changes. And Ivan Pace just doesn't have the level of experience of Cashman. And also, he's a huge guy who's really fast, which helps in the run game, but he covers a ton of ground in coverage. They also face two great offensive minds, two great quarterbacks over the last 2 weeks. I don't think that Shane Steichen and Joe Flacco are quite on the same level, but there's no question they're going to try to copy all the same stuff that we saw over the last 2 weeks, which does attack that linebacker area. So I wonder about dialing back some of the blitzes a little bit, trying to cover the middle of the field a little bit more, trying to keep Ivan Pace more available to run down bubble screens and things like that, those short passes that have really worked for the last two opponents. But, I mean, as far as a prognosis, it's hard to say. O'Connell, you know, he's always optimistic about guys' health.
Yes, he is.
I'm positive he could come back this week, next week. I just don't know. I mean, you can't really tell from that. I would guess maybe next week we could see him back, but he needs to be at 100% before he comes back. I don't think for a linebacker that's an injury where you go, come on, man, just fight through it. Not with that one.
Okay, the Colts' decision has been discussed a fair amount, but the two of us have not. You have Flacco coming back, and Joe Flacco's had a very impressive career. Obviously, his sadly days with the Baltimore Ravens, but then a bit of a renaissance last year, to say the least, with the Browns. You had Anthony Richardson tapping out of the game. He has not lived up to the hype so far, but he missed almost all last year due to an injury. What is your sense about the Flacco skill set, which is still there, against this team? And you laid it out a little bit in the answer, but just also the decision to put Richardson back on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way it's hard because you can't put one foot in and one foot out with a young player. You can't, like Carolina did. Well, you're going to play, but we're not going to let you fight through the tough times. I think that they probably should look at what Buffalo did with Josh Allen and his first 10 starts and how bad he was throwing the football and how often he was turning it over, and he just fought through it and found his way. They instead decide not to do that. But also the other approach would be to sit a guy and develop him behind the scenes every day with your coaches and with learning how to be a pro quarterback and not tap out. That was a really bad thing to do no matter what. You'd rather take a delay a game. You would rather call a timeout, anything. Don't leave the field if you're the starting quarterback as long as you're healthy. That was not good. But also, he's younger than Shedeur Sanders, who's going to be a top quarterback in next year's draft. I really think that Indianapolis botched that one by even putting him in there and not letting him learn like Jordan Love or Mahomes or the other raw players. But from a Sunday night perspective, it's bad for the Vikings. There's no doubt about it. Joe Flacco is not intimidated by stadium noise. He is not confused and baffled by blitzes. He understands how to identify, how to find his hot routes, how to execute an offense, and he's been efficient with them. I think the one area where it does help the Vikings is in the run game. Jonathan Taylor, Gopher fans know how good Jonathan Taylor is, but he's not the same without the quarterback running those. They built their whole offense around a quarterback running and then the option of giving it to the running back. Obviously, Joe Flacco's not running anywhere, so there's a little bit of push and pull to that. But Flacco being a veteran quarterback, I think the Vikings defensively have to approach this very different than what they would have with Richardson, where they would have been able to just confuse him at the line of scrimmage, intercept the football, profit. Like, this is going to be a little more intricate, I think, in dealing with Flacco.
Okay, let's talk women's basketball here. Let's talk about this league, Unrivaled, which has been out there for a little bit. Nafis Collier is one of the co-founders of this. They've upped the number of players to 36. Story out there today how they've continued to pursue Caitlin Clark, including an offer believed to be worth over $1 million. This is three-on-three basketball. Three-on-three is becoming more prominent by the day, including in the Olympics. You have among the stars, the best player in the league, A.J. Wilson, is not committed either, but most prominent players have. What is your sense in the end of their push for Clark, the offer for Clark? What is your sense about how this might play? It's appealing, but maybe I'm just too much of a traditionalist, and we both thoroughly enjoy basketball. I just don't like 3-on-3 nearly as much as I like 5-on-5. What is your sense about Clark and this league and your either optimism or maybe negativity towards where this league might be going?
Yeah, I think based on what I saw from the TV contract, sounds like it's going to be fairly significant. If I was Caitlin Clark, I would say you're going to have to up that offer quite a bit more, because she knows that if she plays, the audience is built in that's going to come along with her. There's an entire state that comes along with her of Iowa for anything she's doing, but also
might be two
media.
Now, right? Yeah, down in Indiana, right?
But two states. But the media also comes with her.
Yeah,
it's not just
no doubt.
It's not just her and her fans. It's also all the media will flock to anything that she's doing, because I mean, heck, during the WNBA finals, there were three headlines about the Lynx, and there were three and Liberty, and there were three headlines on ESPN's main page about Caitlin Clark golfing. Like, that's how much they want Caitlin Clark's name on ESPN and and media outlets. So I think that they probably owe her more money than that if she's going to get involved. I think it's a great idea, but the execution is going to be key. How entertaining is it really? Because, you know, Ice Cube's league, and Sloan called a few of these games on TV, it was a struggle. It was a struggle to watch. I mean, if it's not done well and the players aren't great. Now, they are getting an all-star team's worth of players, so that could be a difference maker there for the entertainment value. I've struggled to get involved with side leagues, even as much as I love football. I will watch some UFL. I can't watch all UFL, and I don't know if it's going to be the same kind of thing, because these are the star players. I guess we'll see. They all have kind of big brands themselves, and if they get Wilson, but I know they've got Aaliyah Boston, you know, and Fee is a big name. So I guess I'm more curious. I haven't seen things like this work out that well.
No,
but
I'm with
if
you.
If they get enough attention for it, and if it's actually really good, because they're kind of doing more of a full court 3-on-3 than a half court thing.
Okay, that's better.
Could be interesting. Yeah, it could be interesting.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Good luck. Good luck with that diet.
And I'm on tonight, 6 to 9.
Oh, you're in for H Lake. Excellent. Do you have any guests we should plug?
Dane Moore on Wolves.
Yep.
And that's it right now. I got to get to work.
3 hours of Dane. That's good. Well, he can, because the game's probably not going to start till 8:50. So bonus, bonus Dane, and you can break down your favorite fast food items. By the way, you'd get plenty of reaction for that if you did. That would work. As we talked over each other and just made that really uncomfortable at the end. Dave, how comfortable was that to listen to?
I'm shaking right now.
Yeah,
I
felt very awkward.
Mom and dad are fighting again.
See you, caller.
Thanks, man. See ya.
Matthew Collar. Shaletta. And also we get back to Donald Trump a little bit, because we talked some Trump in the Cheney soundbite from last night. Donald has added more, piling on Liz Cheney, or potentially clarifying. Do you want to say clarifying? I'm going to go piling on myself. We'll give you a little bit of that as we lead into Shaletta in moments.